Lately, I've been using a new product that I really like. It's called Superbeads. It's based on Nobel Prize winning research and the nitric oxide principle. Nitrates are converted to nitric oxide in the body, which is the secret to Superbeads activity. Call 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeads.com. That's 800-738-2198, intelligentbeads.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We've got lots of stuff to talk about on today's edition of the program. We're going to take your phone calls. We hope to hear from you. 888-302-3684. That's our number. Write it down. 888-302-3684. And we look forward to answering your questions on medicine and nutrition. If you've got a health problem or a concern or, you know, just a comment, please share it with us. 888-302-3684. And among the stories that we're going to tackle, it turns out that for some reason or another, Americans have far higher rates of allergy, in particular to foods, than people anywhere else in the world. We'll try to plumb the reasons for that particular phenomenon in just a moment. 888-302-3684. And among the stories this week, and this is a fascinating story. There's a lot of play on this story in the mainstream media because it is an illustration of the fact that there is sometimes utter confusion when it comes to practical recommendations for our diets and lifestyle. And the messages that we give out in terms of public health are really messed up. For example, I mean, one example is the salt controversy. Should we restrict sodium? Oh, we should drastically restrict it, less than a gram a day for everyone. No, it turns out, according to experts, that that is really not necessary. And a little later in the program, we'll talk about the egg controversy. It turns out eggs are okay for you, but, well, they actually may be beneficial when it comes to cardiovascular protection, according to a new study. And here's another one. And it's fascinating because, you know, they tell us, you know, you got to stay svelte, you got to stay trim because this can have a negative impact on your body, on your heart, on your blood vessels, on your brain. Here it goes, folks. Get ready for this one. Researchers based at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine have determined that obese middle-aged people are less likely to develop dementia than healthy weight people. So all those efforts you've made to lower your weight may have a reverse impact on your risk of dementia, according to the study. The study says that obese middle-aged people are nearly 30% less likely to develop dementia than those of a healthy weight. It also found that underweight people of the same age were a third more likely to develop the condition than those who had a healthy body mass index. So, you know, underweight certainly is a risk factor, but even a normal weight, according to this study, put people at higher risk for dementia. People who were heavier were less likely to develop dementia. Okay, well, that story appeared, and this is actually kind of funny because this was commented on the popular website, Drudge. The Drudge website, because they juxtaposed this study that appeared this week with another study that also appeared this week. Headline, get ready for this, obesity in the middle age increases risk of dementia. Yeah, it increases the risk of dementia. So two different studies from major scientific enterprises came up with diametrically opposed conclusions. According to the second study, it was published in the journal Neurology, they found that people who are obese in middle age are almost four times greater risk of developing dementia, such as Alzheimer's disease, later in life than people of normal weight. And, yeah, I guess it just points out that it depends on what you're looking for and the bias that you bring to the study and your methodology. But not only is there some slight difference, but it's like a 180-degree difference between these studies. And it could be speculated that some of the studies that suggest that normal weight people are worse off than overweight people might be looking at normal weight people who are normal weight because they're sick. They, you know, if they were healthy and they could eat like a house on fire, they'd be overweight. But they're already showing signs of illness, which is causing them to waste away slightly. In terms of statistics, they appear identical with a super healthy person. And I'm going to cite my own example. You know, I'm athletic, I eat a good diet, and I'm normal weight and don't have any health problems. But another individual might be my identical weight, but might be suffering from a multitude of health problems that ultimately could lead them to require lots of medication, which we know can impair cognitive performance. They might be insulin resistant. They might be sedentary because of an arthritic condition, and we know that that's not good for the brain. And ultimately, that person, 15 or 20 years hence, might be a candidate for Alzheimer's disease or dementia. So that might be the reason for why the first study showed that normal weight individuals, so-called normal weight individuals, are at higher risk. Whereas the second study, I got to go with the second study, because the second study totally makes sense, that people who are overweight generally are insulin resistant. And insulin resistance occurs in the belly, causing belly fat, in the blood vessels, causing atherosclerosis. But when insulin resistance occurs in the brain, it can cause a brain brownout. A lack of proper energy production in the brain can lower your IQ points. And a recent study showed that even slight elevations in hemoglobin A1C, a measure of blood sugar control, for each 0.1 increase in your hemoglobin A1C, if it goes from 5.8 to 5.9, there was something like a phenomenal two-digit increase, 20% or so, in your risk of coming down with dementia or Alzheimer's disease. That's a point that's often made by our good colleague, Dr. David Perlmutter, who we interview frequently on Intelligent Medicine. We publish some of his articles at drhoffman.com, is that carbohydrates and overweight conspire to create insulin resistance and pre-diabetic changes that are probably the single biggest cause of cognitive decline in the world. So I got to, if I had to pick and choose, I'd pick study number two. Yeah, door number two, in terms of the right approach to dementia prevention. Maintain a normal weight, but, you know, don't maintain a normal weight by being sick and dropping weight. Maintain a normal weight in a healthy way through a healthy diet and exercise. And that'll be enormously beneficial for your brain. This just illustrates the confused messages that we're sending out to the public. People are just putting their hands up saying, what in the heck are you trying to tell us? Your messaging is totally off. 888-302-3684. We'll take your phone calls momentarily. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Beets are a nutrition goldmine, rich in antioxidants, polyphenols, electrolytes, and dietary nitrates, which can help boost circulation, relax arteries, and maintain healthy blood pressure levels. Get the benefits of 3 whole beets in just 1 teaspoon of Super Beets. I feel confident offering this to you because I take Super Beets every day. I know it's working because I feel more energy within 20 minutes, and I want you to feel it too. Call 800-738-2198. Or go to intelligentbeats.com, 800-738-2198, or intelligentbeats.com. Get a 30-day supply free. It comes with your first order and is backed by a money-back guarantee. Also, receive a free book, Beat the Odds, and free shipping on your entire order. You'll love the results, guaranteed, or your money back. Call 800-738-2198, or go to intelligentbeats.com.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. 888-302-3684 is our number. In just a moment, I'll tell you why we think allergies are on the upswing in America. But first, let's talk to Maria in Connecticut. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a long, long time listener, more than 20 years, and I called you two times before.
Right.
My question is about hip surgery, and I have mainly two things. One is about, they had a class at the hospital, and they told us they are going to inject pain medication in the medications in the socket, like Celebrest or Adol and something more, if I can remember. I heard you say, I think, that the pain medication takes the inflammation and slows the healing process or something
right.
like
that. Yeah. No, that puzzles me because generally it is not thought advisable for any kind of orthopedic surgery to use a medication like Celebrex, a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. You know, when I broke my hip, I didn't have a hip replacement, but I had a metal rod put into my hip to stabilize, and then I later had it taken out. You know, I was in pain, and I asked my doctor, shall I take some Advil or ibuprofen? And the doctor said, no, don't do that, because he said the latest studies show that it delays bone healing. And, you know, you did say something correct there. You said that by interfering with inflammation, you know, these are anti-inflammatory drugs, as a result, the healing can be delayed. So it's actually, to get proper healing, you need some inflammation. It's a healing process. It hurts. Yeah, it's uncomfortable. But, you know, when you, one way I dealt with the pain I had after the surgery, I said, well, it hurts. Well, that means that the cells are organizing there and nutrition is and blood flow is going to the area. And there's a repair crew working to knit the bone together. And so I said, well, let's, you know, the pain is, I kind of flipped the script on that. The pain's not bad. The pain's good. It's a sign of healing. So you're right about that.
Should I ask the surgeon? I still have an appointment before.
Yeah, you absolutely should ask him. You say, I heard that using these drugs is not good for healing. And I, you know, I don't care. I'd rather use Tylenol. You know, works for me. So go ahead and tell him that. That's fine.
Okay. And the other thing they say is that in the folder is that many people are able to switch from narcotics to over-the-counter pain relievers in 3 to 6 weeks after surgery.
Easily. Oh, yeah. But you know, look, you know, the narcotic pain relievers you might just need for a few days. You know, the longer you're on them, the more likely you are to become dependent on them. And, you know, I took them, I'm trying to remember, I took the narcotic pain relievers for about a month because it was pretty darn painful. It's actually more painful when you break a hip by a long shot than if you have an elective hip replacement, because there the mayhem is contained. It's like they saw in a perfectly controlled way through your hip and then put an appliance in there to fit in the ball and socket joint there to replace the joint. When you break a hip, it's, you know, it's chaos. There's a lot of tissue damage and, you know, bone fragments and that whole thing. And it's going to be a more substantial kind of injury and take longer to heal. You know, so you should be fine in a short period of time. So supplements you could take. I would suggest you stop taking your fish oil about a week before. I bled a lot during the time of the injury, possibly because I take a lot of fish oil, but you can't anticipate when you're going to have a bike accident, so I didn't know. But if you can have elective surgery and you know that you're going to have trauma, it's planned trauma, then stop the fish oil about a week before because you reduce the chance of excess bleeding. But it's a very controlled operation. The bleeding is minimal. Consider a supplement called Ostanol. Ostanol I recommend to people who have fractures or bone surgery because it's something called BMP, bone morphogenic protein. It's a supplement I don't use very often, but I'll use it in extreme cases of osteoporosis sometimes. Check it out, Ostanol, Ostinol. I believe we have it up on our website at drhoffman.com. You know, whenever we mention something kind of esoteric on this program, just put it into the search box at drhoffman.com and check it out at our store because we're likely to have that product. Thanks very much for calling, and good luck with the surgery. And, hey, it's going to be great because getting hip replacement surgery that's appropriate is going to give you a whole new lease on life. A lot of people outlive their hips, and, you know, you might have 30 or 40 years of very, very high quality of life and ability to walk and exercise after you've notched that problem. All right, let's talk about allergies. The story here, why moving to America increases your risk of allergy. There was a study in the Journal of the American Medical Association that says that living in the United States increases your risk of allergic disease significantly. By how much? Well, the CDC reports a 265% increase in the rates of hospitalizations related to food allergy reactions in the last 10 years. But check this out. Children born outside the U.S. have a lower prevalence of allergies, about 20%, whereas those born in the United States, it's about 35%. So put another way, one in three Americans have allergic diseases. One in five of people who live outside the U.S. have allergic diseases. What's up with that? Well, there's a lot that's different. You know, we use a lot of antibiotics. Our food is very processed. But one of the factors, one of the less recognized factors that may influence our susceptibility to allergies is the use of genetically modified foods. Yeah, the new foreign proteins that have never existed in our millions of years of evolution have been suddenly genetically engineered in our food, and our bodies are exposed to these new novel proteins. And it may be, it's not proof positive, but, what's changed? What has changed in our environment? Partially, it's due to the hygiene hypothesis. That means that we're less exposed to germs. Actually, some studies show that if you use a dishwasher and totally sterilize your plates rather than using hand washing, your children are more likely to have allergies. Also, studies showed that people who use bleaches and disinfectants, their children are more likely to have allergies. Why? Because we're eradicating common microbes that may play a role in building our resistance to allergies. This is what we call the hygiene hypothesis, which means that we should be exposed to minor illnesses and bugs to help give our immune system kind of a boot camp exposure and normalize its response to foreign exposures. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We'll be right back. 888-302-3684 for Intelligent Medicine.
Why Kyolic? Well, all the numbers add up for your health. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement for heart health available on the market today. For over 40 years, Kyolic has been the leading garlic supplement in America. Kyolic is 50 times richer than raw garlic in active beneficial compounds. Kyolic is organically grown and aged for 20 months to enhance its nutritional value, creating beneficial compounds not found in fresh or powdered garlic, but only in aged garlic extract from our farms in California. For maximum purity. Over 750 scientific studies at major universities such as Brown, Cornell, and UCLA prove that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is working to enhance your body's immune function, protect your cells from free radical damage, and reduce the widest range of cardiovascular risk factors. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. Call today at 1-800-421-2998 for your free sample of Kyolic.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. For years, you've relied on me to tell you about the latest and most effective natural products on the market. Leading the organic pest control industry, Cedarside has been creating natural solutions to insect infestations for nearly 20 years. Cedarside Original uses the natural power of cedar oil to kill and repel insects while remaining non-toxic for your family, pets, and the environment. This 100% organic insect spray from Cedarside.com is lab and real-world tested to kill bed bugs, mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, mites, scorpions, roaches, and more. Order some today. Go to cedarside.com and use coupon code Hoffman at checkout for free shipping or call 800-842-1464 and mention my name, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. The only pest control you'll ever need. Use Mother Nature to fight Mother Nature. Go online to cedarside.com or call now 800-842-1464. Cedarside Original for people, pets, and premises. Cedarside.com has the safe and effective pest control products you need for your family, pets, home, and yard.
A regular dose of Intelligent Medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. 888-302-3684 is our number. Should you want to get in on the action? Everyone loves an inspiring story. So here's some inspiring stories about centenarians. If you feel like you're slowing down, getting old, take some inspiration from 100-year-old Mieko Nagaoka, who is a Japanese woman that has become the world's first centenarian to complete a 1,500-meter freestyle swim. For those of you unfamiliar with that distance, 1,500 meters is approximately a mile. That would translate to around 70, 75 laps in a standard 25-yard pool. So what of interest is the fact that she she only took up swimming 20 years ago. So at 80, she decided she was going to become a swimmer. And now at 100, she's completed the freestyle swim. Amazingly, she took just under an hour and 16 minutes to finish the race. That's pretty darn good, because I do that distance. I can do that distance in, 35 minutes, 40 minutes. She'll do it an hour and 16 minutes. I wonder if 40 years hence, at the age of 102, I can A, still do it, and B, notch that time. She was the sole competitor in the 100 to 104-year-old category of these masters swimmers. The sprightly Nagaoka told a Japanese newspaper, "I want to swim until I turn 105 if I can live that long." Her record will be posted in the Guinness World Records, among other amazing athletes. There's Hidekichi Miyazaki, who was 103 when he bagged the world record for the 100-meter dash, also in the 100 to 104 age category. He clocked a 29.83 seconds. Younger individual, what are they doing, about 9 seconds these days? But not everything is rosy for these 100-year-olds. I mean, you know, being 100, it's an equal opportunity kind of situation. And a little perspective on this. Prosecutors say that a 100-year-old man apparently killed his wife with an axe as she slept in their northern New Jersey home and then killed himself in the bathroom with a knife. I say, why bother to live to be 100 years old and then commit murder-suicide? It's not funny. It's tragic. But Bergen County Prosecutor John Molinelli says that there was, quote, a history of domestic issues between Michael Juskin, age 100, and his 88-year-old wife, Rosalia. Yeah, you know, it often doesn't work out with these younger women. She was 88. And so, I don't know, maybe the age difference, they didn't see eye to eye. All right. 888-302-3684. Another big story this week is, and they made a lot of this, and I don't really like the slant that they put on the reporting on this, because the reporting suggests that we need more regulation of the supplement industry, because the supplement industry is running roughshod over the rules, and they're making unsafe products, and as a result, the Food and Drug Administration has to step in and better regulate the industry. But that's the headline of many of the stories, but let's look at actually what happened. An amphetamine-like compound that has never been tested in humans is present in a range of popular diet pills and sports supplements, according to a study in a pharmacological journal. The substance is known as BMPEA. I'd never heard of it before this story. It's found in products advertised as containing Acacia rigidula, which I've also never heard of. It's a shrub native to Texas. But it's a little bit of sleight of hand, because what sometimes these shady supplement manufacturers do is they take a plant and they derive a natural substance from the plant, and they chemically modify it into a diet pill, into speed, an amphetamine-like substance. But they can say, well, it's naturally derived, but actually it's chemically modified. I mean, hey, you know, a lot of pretty dangerous substances like heroin and cocaine, purified crack, are made for natural, you know, like coca leaves, you know, the natural plant, or poppy leaves, you know, that poppy plant, poppy sap. It's a natural product. But then you take it and you modify it chemically and you can turn it into something very harmful and dangerous. In an interview, Peter Cohen, who's an assistant professor of medicine at Harvard, said that while the effects of BMPA are unknown, it's potentially dangerous. But what's of interest, all these people calling for the FDA to act and more regulations to enable them to act, well, it turns out the FDA has been aware of it. They actually produced a report on this in 2013, but they took no regulatory action to protect consumers. So it took this article in a journal of pharmacognosy by a Harvard professor to point out the potential hazard to consumers. So the result was actually, I think, a pretty good one by supplement manufacturers. There was a voluntary recall. Big retail stores like Vitamin Shop announced, oh, yeah, we have some of these products, but we're going to take them off the shelves. We're not going to challenge this. And check out some of the names of these products. I never even heard of these things. Crazy names. Jet Fuel T300, Fastin XR, Yellow Scorpion, Black Widow, Lipodrene Hardcore, Aero Black Series Burn, Dexaprine XR, Lipodrene Extreme, MXLS7, Jet Fuel Super Burn, Stimerex. I mean, hey, any of you out there taking that stuff? You know, people who are judiciously selecting supplements, you know, vitamins and things like curcumin and boswellin and omega-3 fatty. I mean, you're taking like Black Widow, Yellow Scorpion, Jet Fuel, Superburn. Most of these products are made by one company, High Tech Pharmaceuticals. And look, there are some players in this field of supplement manufacturer who are shady players. And the press and certain politicians are, there's no other word for it, they're profiling the supplement industry. You know, like racial profiling, like a person of a certain skin color are, you know, dangerous, so let's shake them down. It's the equivalent of saying, let's pick a group, say Armenians, with due apologies to Armenians, that some of its members were found to be convicted of drunk driving. So what are we going to do? Every Armenian gets a driving stop, or that we say that Armenians, as a rule, are drunk drivers. We'd have a new phrase, DWA, driving while Armenian. Well, that's the same thing as happening in the supplement industry. Because of some of these marginal players, the press is getting down on the supplement industry and saying, oh, well, the supplement industry is out of control. The FDA needs more power. But in fact, the FDA had the power to regulate this. They oversaw this situation. They were aware of it. They did not act. And this, according to Peter Cohen, professor of medicine at Harvard, is unconscionable because the potentially hazardous substance was unleashed on the public as a, quote, natural diet pill that you didn't need a prescription for. You could buy it over the counter. And while there's no report of harm in humans, the point is, hey, you know, you want to take a diet pill? Take a prescription diet pill. Don't just, you know, go to the health food store and with the potential for abuse of these things, you know, if one is good, 10 might be better. I think the supplement industry acted very responsibly in pulling these supplements off the shelves without even the threat of federal, state regulation. They did the right thing. 888-302-3684. We'll take some of your calls in just a moment.
This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotics provide proper intestinal balance, which goes way beyond optimizing digestion. It has a profound impact on virtually every system of the body. I'm an early adopter of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. I personally take them every day, and I've been recommending them to my patients for over 10 years. I've long extolled the benefits of probiotics. A frequent focus of my health programs and wellness articles is the importance of the gut to overall health. I believe in Dr. O'Hara's because they combine a wide spectrum of beneficial bacteria with prebiotics that help the good bacteria establish a foothold in your GI tract. They're easy to take, well-tolerated, and convenient. They don't need refrigeration. Dr. O'Hara takes the centuries-long Japanese tradition of creating expert probiotic foods to the next level. They're the next generation of probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. I'm often called upon to do damage control or interpretation of sometimes lurid headlines that castigate or call into doubt the effectiveness of certain supplements. So I'll do that in just a moment about a new thing that you cancer patients might be confronted with when you go to the oncologist. Headline, fish oil supplements can undermine chemotherapy effectiveness. We'll evaluate the validity of that statement in just a moment. But first, let's handle a question from Dana in Delaware. How you doing?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling about my niece and her blood integers were 77%, and the doctor said it was because of her fibroids and wants to give her hysterectomy. And
oh, wait a minute. What's 77%?
The cancer indicator in her bloodstream.
Oh, really? Okay. So this is interesting. That's a new genotype or genetic test or cancer marker that suggests that she might be at higher risk of cancer. Okay, so this pertains to ovarian cancer, uterine cancer.
He said because of fibroids, and he wants to give her a hysterectomy.
Right.
So I have two questions. I was wondering, can fibroids turn into cancer?
Well, absolutely.
And how do you shrink
them?
And how do you shrink them?
Absolutely. So here's the deal. 99.5% of fibroids are just that. They're just growths. The word tumor, it's a scary word. Yeah, I've got a tumor. Oh, my goodness. You're doomed. No. Tumor in the original word in Latin means just a growth of any kind. So the vast majority of tumors are benign, but some are malignant. And when it comes to growths in the uterus that are called fibros or fibroadenomas, the vast majority of them are fine. But there is a very slight chance of transformation into a fibrosarcoma, which is a dangerous type of tumor. And this actually came up recently. They have a procedure called morselization, where it's basically kind of like a Roto-Rooter procedure to clean out fibroids with a rotating blade. And so they got rid of the fibroids that way. But what they did is they dispersed the cells throughout the pelvic cavity, and as a result, in a very small number of cases, they actually spread cancer. So this procedure has been called into question. It's a very effective way of getting rid of fibroids, but it doesn't completely remove the uterus, and as a result, it may have the potential to spread cancer. So I don't know about this marker test that your daughter's doctor is
my
talking
niece,
about,
my niece,
or your niece's,
yeah.
Yeah, your niece's doctor is talking about. That's new, and I'm not sure how reliable it is in terms of prediction of cancer. But there is a chance that an ordinary fibroid can go cancerous. So that's one of the issues. It's the vast majority of women can keep their fibroids. If they're small, they're not bothering them. They'll shrink at menopause, no problem. But if it looks very large, it keeps growing, if it's suspicious, if it's very uncomfortable, if it causes severe anemia, there's all kinds of problems that can occur that make it necessary to either operate on the fibroid or try to shrink the fibroid. There are a variety of ways to do that. In this case, I don't know what to say. I can't comment on what the necessity of the operation. What I can say is that we work a lot with patients to shrink fibroids. And how do you do that? Well, one is you limit their nutrition. And their nutrition comes from estrogen. So how do you limit estrogen? It's easier to add estrogen than to take it away. You reduce estrogen by helping patients lose weight because fat cells produce estrogen. And often a major culprit in feeding fat cells is excess sugar and carbohydrates. So put patients on a clean diet, often a carb-restricted diet, get them to lose weight. That helps. Also, just moving your bowels helps. Constipated women have higher levels of estrogen, so promoting normal bowel movements because there's an enterohepatic circulation of estrogen. And getting your intestines to detoxify the estrogen and excrete it is an important aspect of estrogen control. Also, a couple of supplements help. One is called Myomin. It's a supplement that helps to shrink fibroids. Myomin, M-Y-O-M-I-N. I think it's at drhoffman.com. You can look it up. Dimpro also helps to regulate excess levels of estrogen. It's from the cabbage family, diindolmethane, a product we use called Dimpro. And then flaxseed extract also helps with that. Product we use is called Breveil. The reason it's called Breveil, it starts with the same three letters that breast starts with. It also helps prevent potentially harmful or dangerous changes in the breast. So eating flaxseed, great for the prostate, great for the breast, even great for the uterus if fibroids are present. These are some of the things that you can do. I think some studies have also shown that lycopene from tomato is helpful for preventing or shrinking fibroids. But those are some of the things that can be done.
Hey, thank you very much.
All right. But, yeah, I can't tell you whether surgery is imperative here. I mean, it sounds a little scary that the genetic test is predictive of cancer. But, hey, you won't know until you look at the pathology report after you take the thing out. All right. Let's take a look at this one. This new study purports to show that fish oil supplements can undermine chemo effectiveness. That's scary. Because a lot of people, cancer, you feel like a deer in the headlights when you have cancer. And a doctor tells you, don't take fish oil because new studies show that fish oil can undermine the effectiveness of the chemo we're about to give you. You're going to back off because, right, your life is at stake. Okay, what's this all about? I saw the study and I turned to an expert in this field. She's Dr. Lise Alschuler. She's a naturopathic physician, but she's certified in oncology, and she's a real smart lady. She's written the definitive book of cancer. She's a frequent guest on our Intelligent Medicine podcast. And I said, what do you make of this? And she actually wrote a very, very nice critique of the study, which says the following. Okay, these investigators looked at mice, and they looked at one type of chemotherapy, which is carboplatin, oxaliplatin, and irinotecan. Not all chemos alike, but they looked at mice with this particular type of chemotherapy. And they found that in these mice, fish oil, but particularly one substance in fish oil, seemed to inhibit the benefit of chemotherapy. However, this study was not done in humans. It is not applicable to all forms of chemo. And so the article that I'm reading here in a medical website suggests that patients receiving virtually all types of chemotherapy have been advised not to take fish oil supplements because they can make chemotherapy drugs ineffective. There's absolutely no proof of that whatsoever. Researchers are simply inferring from mouse studies that the same thing happens in humans and that the same thing happens with every form of chemotherapy around. They say they'd like to test this in humans, but it would be unethical to test it in humans. Well, actually, many studies show that chemotherapy is enhanced by omega-3 fatty acids. The studies have been done. They have done studies looking at humans receiving various forms of fish oil. One product used EPA and DHA. And the study showed a higher response rate and trend toward a higher one-year survival when fish oil was added as an adjuvant to chemotherapy. So this is the actual human studies. And they said, well, we can't do human studies. No, but the human studies have been done. Another study looked at a regimen with 1.8 grams of DHA. And this study found that those patients with the highest plasma DHA had significantly extended average time to cancer progression and extended overall survival, suggesting that the chemotherapy sensitized, I'm sorry, that the fish oil sensitized the cancer cells to the cancer-killing effects of the chemotherapy. And also, many patients on chemo now receive what's called enteral nutrition. They receive some sort of boost oral formula that contains EPA and DHA. It's an established practice, and it hasn't been found to affect response to chemotherapy. In fact, it's associated with improved clinical response and quality of life. So, I don't know. You know, like one study, mice, one form of chemotherapy does not necessarily suggest that people with cancer, people about to receive chemo, should withhold their fish oil. It's an, again, they're overreading the results. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We'll be back in just a moment. We got more stuff to talk about. We invite you to check out our website at drhoffman.com because you've got lots more content there. This week, I think, an excellent article in which I talk about 14 things that you know better than your doctor. Your doctor knows a lot, but you yourself can be the best judge of many things that affect your health. And we point that out as we do each week in an interesting article that appears in our newsletter. So subscribe, check it out. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Join us for our second hour, 888-302-3684 for Intelligent Medicine.